Okay, good evening, everyone. So I want to begin with Siv Bey, Kuf Samach Siv Beis, which is on the sheet from last week still. The Mechaber says, Kalanosim Beribis, anybody who gives money, meaning loans money to somebody else, to another Yid, Beribis, Nechasiv Mismotitim, rather than becoming successful and earning a lot of money on it, he'll find that just the opposite, that his property, his assets will start faltering and he'll start losing his wealth. He's viewed by the Torah as somebody who's kofer by Kadosh Baruch Hu, kofer b'tzias Mitzrayim. The Torah actually links belief in Yetzias Mitzrayim to the Isser of Ribis. The Bir Agra brings it in Oz Gimel in the Bir Agra. Brings the Torah's Kohen in Parshas Behar. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Meretz Mitzrayim. Al Tanai Kach Hotzeisi Eschem Meretz Mitzrayim Shetekablu Aleichem Mitzvos Ribis. Shekala Modi B'mitzvos Ribis Modi B'tzias Mitzrayim V'chala Kofer B'tzias B'mitzvos Ribis Kofer B'tzias Mitzrayim. So it could be the idea is that a person who lends money for Ribis, even though the Torah says not to do it, he's obviously feeling, well, I need to make money, and I'm going to make money this way, and as if I'm in control, as if I can call the shots, I can make the determinations. If I'm a shrewd businessman, and just do what the norm is when people lend out the money. Money lending is a big source of income for many people, and taka is when it's done permissibly. But here the person doing it against the Ratzon Hashem. So that's like saying that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not the one who determines if I'm going to make money this month or this year or whatever. It's up to me. So that's covered with Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no. I told you not to do this. I'll take care of your parnasa, or I'll determine your parnasa. If you can have parnasa, you'll have it because I want to give it to you. And if you won't, you won't, no matter what you do. But the person who, the person who lends the money the other way isn't admitting to that or isn't agreeing to that. And Kofer B'tzias Mitzrayim, I think the idea could be, well, I mean, the Torah linked it, but maybe the reason the Torah linked it is because we know that B'tzias Mitzrayim was sort of the confirmation of our belief in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because we didn't, Ma'aseh Bereishis, nobody was around to see, but they saw by B'tzias Mitzrayim, where there were 3 million Jews, or whatever the Cheshbon, they saw the Nisei Hashem, they saw the fact that the Kadosh Baruch Hu completely controlled the Teva and manipulated it according to his will, and that's confirmed our belief in Ma'aseh Bereishis. That's one of the reasons the Torah says that's one of the Hesberim we say in Kiddush every Friday night. We talk about Shabbos first, we say Zech L'Ma'aseh Bereishis, and then we say Zech L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Shabbos, why is Shabbos Zech L'Yetzias Mitzrayim? It should be Zech L'Ma'aseh Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for 6 days and then he was Shoves on the seventh day, so we're Shoves. So Zech L'Ma'aseh Bereishis. But how is the Zech L'Yetzias Mitzrayim? Where does Shabbos come to Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the Torah brings to Pshatim, and one of the Pshatim brings is that because by B'tzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed that I'm the one who's the responsible for Ma'aseh Bereishis, and I'll prove it to you because I can change it at will. I could take the same water which is in a cup, and it could come out of two people's mouths at the same time, and one stays water, and the one turns to blood, or any one of the many many nisim that happened during the Esra Makos and the entire course of B'tzias Mitzrayim. So maybe that's the idea too. If a person doesn't believe, feels that his parnasa, he's the one who calls the shots for his parnasa, is denying Kadosh Baruch Hu and basically denying the nisim of B'tzias Mitzrayim, or denying that that they were nisim and controlled by Hashem. I'm sorry.
It says by also Rashi brings by Leisachpol Beged Almana a lot of dinei mamnas with Pulchas Mashkin. He also brings Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, Balich Bin Nebishtar, I'm Hashem, that took you out of it. So Rashi brings that there's a tonight over there, and with Shtarai Kaidim, there's a Lashon. Someone said once that Dine Momenis is Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim because Mashakon Evet Kona Rabbi, so the Ebishtar gave us Rishus to take the money from Mitzrayim then, but he wasn't Meshacher us from the Avdus Klape all Hilchus Momenis. It was only Meshacher us.
Still Mashakon Evet Kona Rabbi.
That even like Klaus.
Okay. Okay, the Chazal also say, and this is based on a pasuk, where it says if a person gives his money beribis choyo lo yichya, that Rahman's son, a person who lends money beribis will not merit chias amesim, when it comes to the time, Ketz Hayom comes Tchias HaMeisim, this would be a reason why a person would be denied the schus of Tchias HaMeisim. There's a famous Maisa with Rabbi Akiva Eiger where there was in his time there was a person who was known to be a Malva Baribis, a Yid who lent money to the Yidin, and he extorted Ribis from them. And when he passed on, his family went to the Chevra Kedisha to buy a plot, and they wanted to charge her, charge the Almana an exorbitant rate, you know, much more than other people were charged. I think they were thinking that, look, this is a person who took advantage unfairly of the tzibur all these years, be'isser, so this is a way of the tzibur, so we're not mechuyif to sell him, you know, to give him karka. If he wants karka, let him pay back some of the money. Anyway, so she went to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who was a rabbi, to complain. He says, it's not, you know, it's not fair. The karka costs this much. He's asking me for 10 times. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, no, I think it is fair. Because everybody else who buys a kever, so they're just going to be there for a short amount of time and eventually be tchias amesim and they won't need it anymore. But your husband, unfortunately, he's going to need it for a long, long time. He's not leaving there so quickly. So he should pay a lot more for it. That's the mice they bring down. Okay, Siv Gimel says, Hatola ma'osav lomer shem shalavika chavim. If somebody acts as if his money, it's not really his money, really his money that belongs to a guy, I'm just like managing it for the guy, but really you're borrowing from the guy and you're paying the ribbons to him, but it's not true, it's really his money, which he's lending, he's just, in order to make, to convince the lover to borrow it from him and to pay him ribbons, he makes out as if it belongs to a guy, or the other way, Hitaka gets a guy to handle his money, and the guy acts as if it's his own money, but it's really the Jew's money in a way that it's not mutter, meaning the way the guy doesn't have a chrayis for it. That means to say there's a whole long simon later, a double simon, that talks about halachas of ribbis involving a non-Jew under what circumstances it's actually mutter and when it's not mutter. It's a multi-detailed inyan. But here we're talking about simply where a person does it in a way where there's no heter. He just, in order to avoid... In order to be able to get away with it, that people shouldn't nab him on it, or he does things to make it look like it's not his money that's being loaned; it's a non-Jew's money. But in reality, it is his money, his responsibility, and he's the one who's gaining from the deal. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Malvus Amaribis, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yifremimenu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will take care of him. You could fool the people, but he can't fool the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he will even up the score at some point. Okay, Siv Dalet. Now back to the direct halachas. Now Siv Dalet is actually a machlokas rishon, and the Mechaber says brings down one sheet up, but really is a machlokas rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch says afilu im halove nosin lo yosir midaito. Let's say a person borrowed money, Reuven borrows money from Shimon, and there was no talk of ribbis whatsoever. No, it's a free loan, no ribbis. But when Shimon pays back, he feels hakar satov to Reuven. He borrowed the money. Reuven is very nice to loan him the money, and he did well with the money or whatever. You know, got him out of a pickle, or he made money, whatever it may be. And he wants to show his hakar satov. So b'shas piron, he gives him something extra, but he doesn't say he's giving him ribbis. He just gives him a gift. He pays him back more than he borrowed. Shelo hisnimo is never stipulated. Ve'enu omer shenos nelo yosib shel ribbis aser. Now we know the ribbis d'oraisa is only if there's a stipulation. What's called a ketzitza. Ribbis ketzusa. They were kotzets b'shas either b'shas the halva or at the time when they want. If he asks for an extension, if a lover asks for an extension, the malva says, "All right, I'll give you the extension, but." At a certain rate of interest, either of those two situations, that would create ribbis min ha-Torah, ribbis d'oraisa. Anything else, when it was not stipulated, b'shas the halva, it would be d'rabbanan. So here, there are showing them that hold, that this case is mutter. The Torah brings down that Rashi and the Rambam hold that you could do this. When you are paying back a loan, if you want to give the guy a little extra, and the truth, it's only a little, because it can't be an amount that's obvious that you're doing this. It has to be a small amount where there could be, I don't know, some other way of, you know, maybe you gave it to him for some other reason, not because of the loan. Maybe he wants to do a different favor or whatever it may be.
To break 20s. they borrow $17, $18, and they just say...
Okay, so hold on, that's a different shayla. I'm talking about here. No, he wants to give. He wants to give the person extra. He wants to. So Rashi.
What matter the amount?
Because it's even those who are matter it. The only way, it has to be that it's not nicker, that it's for ribbis. That's not nicker for the loan. It has to be that it's something that you could possibly attribute to some other cause. And then there are those that say it's okay. But if it's an amount where it's obvious that it's he's giving him interest, then it's not, even those Rishonim would not agree.
So I don't know the distinction between a littler amount or a big amount. Either it's interest or it's not interest.
Well, so what I'm saying.
Why is there where does that place?
Okay, because there are certain things which are, again, this case is clearly not interest according to the Torah, because there was no stipulation. So the question is, where did the Rabbanan forbid it? What details have to be in place for the Rabbanan to forbid it? So according to some Rishonim, if it's there's no mention of ribbis, and it's not obvious that it's ribbis, and when the lov is giving it back with the piron, with the repayment, meaning it's not something he doesn't while the loan is outstanding, but when the loan is anyway being paid off, he then slips him some extra money. So some Rishonim held that that's mutter, but only a small amount, because just like if you would say, you know, I really appreciate the loan, take an extra 20 or take extra 100, whatever it is. If you would say that, even if it would be any amount, it would be usser. Everyone agrees that's usser, right?
Like a present, not money. You're a present.
Okay, so I'm saying, but if you would say it's for ribbis, everyone would agree it's usser, right? So what I'm saying is an amount which itself is obvious that it's ribbis. There's no, the Malvi racks his brain. He can't think of any other reason he's giving him this money other than the fact that I lent him $100,000 when he really needed it, and the guy did great on it. So he's giving me an extra $500 with the repayment or whatever. I don't want to get to specific numbers because it might depend on the loan. It's giving the amount which the Malvi, there's no other explanation other than interest. He's thanking me for the loan, and this is the way you're thanking me. So that's going to be usser. That's why there's a potential difference. But the Shulchan Aruch holds that it's usher in any case. The Shulchan Aruch holds that, it says clearly, even he doesn't stipulate, and regardless of the amount, the Shulchan Aruch holds it's usher. This is the Shita of the Rush, that it's usher regardless. Okay, now this din that it's usher is, there are three possible times a person might theoretically give extra money. One is during the course of the loan. I'm not saying three times that it's permissible. I'm saying three possible scenarios. One where the lova, while the loan is outstanding, he does some favors to the malva, or he gives him some money, which is not going to come off the principal, just some extra money. That's one possibility. Another possibility is as he's paying back like this. And the third possibility is what's called ribish mucheres, after he paid back the loan. It's all done. It's all finished. Then he later goes ahead and gives him a gift or gives him some money. That's called ribis mucheres. That last case is actually mutter, as we'll see later in Hashem in this siman, as long as, again, he doesn't stipulate, and it's not a large amount which is obvious that it's because of the loan. In other words, he pays back the loan, and afterwards he does the guy a favor, he gives the guy a gift, which could be understood for other reasons, or the malva won't necessarily think it's because of the loan, because, as I said, it's not an amount, or it's not the type of favor that he would only do because of the loan. Though, or the lova knows that is why I'm doing it. I am doing that because of the loan. Lamashla, he pays back the loan 2 weeks before Purim or something, and then comes Purim, and he sends him shalach manos. So if he sends him a regular shalach manos, which you might send to anyone, and he doesn't say that it's because there's now, I know that I'm only sending it because he lent me the money. He wasn't on my shalach manos list last year, and he might have been on this year. I mean, he lives a couple of blocks from me. I see him in shul every day, but until I developed this relationship with him, till he lent me the money, I never would have thought of sending him shalach manos. Now I'm doing kustel alone, so that's something, this case we'll have to talk about later. It's called ribis mucheres. But if he would put a tag on it saying, when he gives shalach manos, a little note, happy Purim and thanks again for that loan, that's for sure husser. Or if it's an elaborate shalach manos, not one that you send to everybody, and there's no other reason why he's sending it to this guy other than the fact that the guy had recently lent him money, which he paid off. It's all paid, all paid back. That's going to be usser. Okay, but that's called ribis mucheres. But as I said, there, if it's not elaborate and it's not specified, it's mutter. This case is, is usur even if it's not elaborate and not specified, according to the Shulchan Aruch. Even if there's no specific, no statement made and nothing obvious about it, it's still usur. Now, so this case is clearly worse than Ribbis Mucheris in that sense. The question is, though, what about a person who, somebody you would, anyway, you would actually be giving a gift to? For example, let's say somebody lent you money, and he's a good friend of yours. You have a relationship, and he lent you money. You needed some money. You lent $1,000. He lent you $1,000, and now he's making a chasana, or his son became bar mitzvah, and you would anyway give him a wedding gift or a chasana, you know, or a bar mitzvah gift or whatever the situation is. You do him some sort of favor, or you give him some sort of monetary benefit, which you would have done anyway. So that is permissible while the loan is outstanding, as long as it's not something which is like overboard, where it's extra or where it's very public. We'll see later, to do a public favor for somebody who owes you, who you owe money to, you're not allowed to do, right? So it's a big shaila, like the gabbai in shul owes somebody money. It's not so pashut if he can, you know, call the gab from after, because even though he might have done it anyway, but it's, you know, it's something that's very public. Or they talk about if a friend of yours who is being honored at a dinner, and I would normally put in a nice ad, you know, in his honor, but I happen to owe him money now. So that gets into shilas if you're allowed to do something which is public. Okay, but if it's not public and it's nothing different than I would have done regardless of the loan, I'm allowed to do it during the loan. But b'shas piron, when I'm paying it back, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says I can't even do that. Meaning, I can't give him a gift which I, even though I know I would anyway give it to him, I can't give it to him b'shas I'm paying back the loan. Because while you're paying back the loan, it automatically looks more like ribbis. So in this sense, we find that the b'shas piron could be more chamor than during the loan, even though there are rishonim that permit shas piron, but lemaisa there are we shulchan aruch pass shas piron is usur, shas piron meaning the time that you're paying back the loan, that it's usur to give extra. So it actually going to come out that there's sometimes that it comes out to be more chumer. So I always thought of a case which was a real life case, and you know, it definitely happened by me, and I'm sure by others it could happen. Your father-in-law, your in-laws come for yontif. And they spend the whole thing on the venue, and the course of the time, your father-in-law is, you know, need all the cash. He doesn't have, you know, his regular sources. He says, do you have $100 of cash, whatever? So you lend him some cash. Then, before he leaves, he can pay back the cash, but he also give you a check for yontif. It's, you know, common. The parents come, in-laws come, they stay in the whole yontif, so they give the kids a check to... I'm not making any suggestions. I'm just saying this is what happens. They give the kids a check, and you know, for the yontif. Now that check really had absolutely zero to do with the fact that his son-in-law lent him $20 or $100. You know, it had nothing to do with it. He was giving the money anyway. But it's convenient when he's giving it back, giving him the check. You know, he's taking care of his little, tying up loose ends. He gives him, especially if he writes out a check, so he adds on the money that he owed. So I always thought that this would be a perfect case of Shulchan Aruch Rav, that you can't do that. Because
what
even though...
More, what if it's more than the actual loan? What if, whatever, he lent him $100, he's given him $1,000. It's obvious that it's not...
You mean the gift is more?
Yeah, the gift is a lot more.
I'm talking about that. So that's normally going to be the case, probably. unless your father-in-law wanted to buy a used car while he was here and the guy wanted the cash. so I'm talking about such a case. So... I always figured that the Shulchan Aruch Rav would be talking about such a case where even though you would do it anyway, I mean, he'd be giving you the money anyway, but b'shas piron, it makes it appear like ribbis, the fact that he's paying it back together.
It's nicker, it's not ribbis.
What's that?
It's very nicker, it's not ribbis.
Okay, so this is what you're both arguing. So I saw in the Sefer Nesivos Shalom, he wants the time of that, even like the Shulchan Aruch Rav, if it's, like you're saying, if it's nicker, if there's a clear reason why he's giving you the extra money, other than a ribbis, like he gives the example of a bar mitzvah gift or a chasna gift, where it's you're giving a guy a chasna gift, and at the same time you're paying back, you owe him some money. But so he wants his case like that would be mutter. So the shulchan,
if you gave him $100, then he gave him $1,000. That's way beyond the ribbis.
Yeah, okay.
That's such a big amount. That's like.
So you're saying the amount. The amount makes it look... Okay, so this is really...
That's big.
Understood. It's clearly not. So what the Shulchan Aruch Rav would mean, what? You would mean a case where it's I'm ruggle to give him this gift anyway, but it could be misconstrued. You'd have to go. It's hard. It's very hard to come to the case.
And he gives it 100.
Say again?
If you find someone lent a parent 80 and he takes that 100 and he gives it to you.
Well,
that also happens.
Well, that would be. I mean, why else is he doing that other than the change reason? I mean, why he's not giving you 20?
It's not ribbis. He gives you money anyway sometimes. Let's say.
You mean not the guy because the yontel? They said just tell me the guy.
Let's say a single person living at home.
And he lends from his own fund.
Anyways, but one day he spent the story and gives his parents $80.
Okay, so that could be something like that.
Let's say my father buys me something, or I buy something, my father's paying me back. So he pays me back, whatever. He doesn't care what he's paying.
Change happens all the time.
Right. Assuming that it wasn't meant derech matan. Assuming it was clearly a loan. It was a loan to begin with from the child to. Okay, so that would be a case where it's not clear. It could be misconstrued as ribbis, it could take the appearance of ribbis. Like there's nothing about the set of circumstances there that clearly dictates not ribbis, and the amount also is an amount that could theoretically be. Well, it depends. I mean, yeah, no.
It depends on their age. If
no,
he has
right.
On the son.
Right. So we're talking about a case where the son is independent, where he definitely has some independent money.
So
right?
What if he has a deal? Let's say what.
Okay, so
that's your age.
Fine. So that's the next case. That's what everybody's bringing up. Let's say you owe somebody. Anybody owes somebody money, and you have a bill that it's not convenient to change. He doesn't. You say just keep it. Keep the difference.
Also, if he's related, then you care less. Like if it's your son, you care less. Like exactly because like you give him money anyway.
Okay, so there's a tshuva for the Minchas Yitzchak though there where he says that is not mutter to do. It is not mutter to give a person, let's say you owe this $17 or even more, you owe him $18, whatever it is, and you give him a 20 and say just forget about it. So I don't have change. I'll owe you two. Just keep it. I don't care. So he says you're not allowed to do that unless it's an amount which is so insignificant that if this is his hagdara, if you dropped it, you wouldn't bother picking it up. In other words, a couple of pennies, maybe something very, very, very minor that nobody even scurries it. You wouldn't even bother picking. Not you wouldn't go running after it's rolling down.
Does it depend on the person?
It may. I mean, if that's
on the floor, you wouldn't be on the floor because it's not polite to leave something on the floor. But let's say outside, if you're dropping the grass, I'm saying like in the floor, you don't want to make a mess.
An amount that you wouldn't pick up because you don't care about, not because that you don't care about.
Like cents, like.
Yeah, right, very small. Very
well,
small.
What if that's you don't remember? What if it's an amount you don't remember?
Okay, that's. We'll get them one second. Okay, we'll get that case one second. Just, I'm sorry, what was it?
The example you gave, here's 20, I don't have change, I only have 18. You're not allowed to say.
This is what in the Chassidic says clearly, and most of the Sfarim bring down this halacha. That you're not allowed to tell. You could delegate. You know what? When you get the change, put in the pushka. Just not for me. Don't give it to donate it to the kol and say this is from Friedman. No, you just give it to the put in the kol and pushka or whatever. So that you could do. I'm not telling you to keep it, but you don't have to go looking for me. Take the take the money and put it.
Your father. You don't want to have to deal with the $2.
Yeah. Okay. So, but
that's all kufa. Then it's insignificant enough that you're not closer after it.
I'm not chosen, right, but that's different that I wouldn't pick it up. I'm not chosen because a good thing, if you keep it, fine, I'm happy if it wouldn't be us. If the caller gets it, I'm happy. If it just drops on the floor, I'm not going to, $2. No, nobody, I mean, most of us would not walk away from $2. Not that, even though you wouldn't, if you lost $2 and all of a sudden the wind, blew out of your hands, gone, you wouldn't sit in the Rice Kree over it. But if you drop it, you're not going to say, who needs it? You're not going to do that. So, this is the Minchas Yitzchak. It has to be an amount that you don't care about. Not just you don't care, I don't mind that you have it. I don't care if it just drops on the floor. I wouldn't bother with it. Otherwise, now, but this is where you know it's more. The shalom I think you're asking now is, let's say you're not exactly sure how much you owe the person, right? Neither of you remember the exact amount, or the other similar shalom they bring where, let's say you made up with a person that you gave him money and you made up that there will be some sort of return, but it wasn't so clear whether it was derech heter or derech chis. Like you weren't, there are ways, through an iska that you could get a return on your money, but it wasn't so clear if it was done right or not done right. So it's a shalom, does he owe you, he made money, does he owe you that amount that you had discussed, or does he not? Or is it shalav ribis? So cases like that, where there's a tzad that it's owed, then the poskim say you are allowed to give it. You have to, you know, speak out clearly that I'm giving you this money just simply to alleviate, to remove any suffix. I may owe you this. I don't know for sure I owe you this, but I'm only giving it to you because of the possibility that I owe it to you. And if I don't owe it to you, I'm ochel. Forget it. You can keep it. You should tell him that as well, because on the tzad that you don't owe it, that you don't owe it to him, you don't want, you know, that he should have a chiv to you, which is will never get paid. So you mochel the difference that you're allowed to do, but that's only a case where there is a suffix. I'm doing it because I may owe it. If I definitely don't owe it, I just don't want to be bothered with it. So rib is, you know, not to be bothered is not a heter. Right. So I mean, the truth is really. Yeah, what I said before, don't give it on my name. I mean, there's another one giving it on my name. The point is, it shouldn't be like a case where, let's say, you know what, I give you 100, I owe you 90, and I owe someone else 10. I give you 100. You know what? So do me a favor. When you get to $10, could you bring it over to that place? I ask you to do me a favor. So that you can't do, because I mean, can't ask the lova, right? But no, that's not the lova. He's the malva. Take that back. He's the malva. Okay, I'm the lova. I'm paying back the money. And I'm asking the malva to do me a favor. Yeah, so that should be fine to do that too. That should be fine. It's only with the malva doing the love a favor. Okay, the only issue would be, according to this, if you just tell him to, you know, to keep the money. Okay, now, there is a shaila about this case. If you did, the case of the Shulchan Aruch, where you did give the person the money, extra money, b'shas the payment, repayment. You gave him some extra money. You didn't say it's ribbis. You didn't say a word. You just gave him some extra money. So when he discovers it, is there a chiyah for him to return it? Meaning as follows. If ribis katsutsa, ribis doraisa, when you stipulate ribis, then that's the halacha, is the malva has to return it. Ribis derabanan, real ribis derabanan, where they was not one of these questionable cases or not b'shas pirun, clear ribis derabanan, there, for example, let's say you gave him extra and you said, you know, here, take a little extra, you were so nice to me. I want you to have an extra, you know, a little bit extra spending money for yourself. And I give it to him. We thought it was okay. And then we find out it's not okay. So that's the case we're talking about. So, that's not the case. So that's real ribis to Rabbanan. Real ribis to Rabbanan, you're not mechuyev to return bidei Adam, but there's a chiyev, let's say, sidei Shemayim. This is coming from the next simon. There's a chiyev, let's say, sidei Shemayim, to return ribis to Rabbanan. Ribis mucheres that we mentioned before, which means after you pay back the loan, you then give the person a gift, after it's all paid back, a week later, but you give him a gift and you mention that it's because of the loan, or it's an amount which is obviously, it's a large amount which is obviously because of the loan, so that even that's usher to do, but there's no din hashava. He doesn't have to return that, even let's say it's day shemayim. Right, that he doesn't have to return at all. So the question is, what about this case? This case where it was done bishas piron, bishas he returned the money, and it was a, you know, relatively small amount, and it was not specified that it's because of ribis, where we said that the Shulchan Aruch holds, nevertheless, it's usher to do it, so it's really worse than ribis mucheres in that sense, but some achronim want to say that legabe hashava, legabe the chiv of the possible chiv of the malva to return it, it has the same din as ribis mucheres, that he's not mucheiv to return it, even latsi sidei shemayim, that there's no inyan whatsoever to return it. Others acholei can say that, no, this is like just like it's worse than ribis mucheres in the sense that you can't do it even if you don't stipulate, so legabe hashav it's also more chamer and he should return it, let's say sidei shemayim.
Is expressing gratitude a form of ribis?
It is. It's called ribis devarim, and that's coming up. We'll get interested into that in what context it may be permissible. But yes, there is definitely something called ribis devarim, verbal ribis, and expressing gratitude could be a form of that.
Oh my gosh, it's so cool.
Yeah.
You can't express gratitude?
Well, we'll see if there's...
loaning you money, getting you out of
flattery. Yeah, let's see. We'll get...
Thank you so much. That's a good day. I don't know what I would have done without
it. Oh, no, you're way over the line now. We can't do that. But we'll see later, Mr. Shem, ways, you know, how you could, you know, what ways it might be permissible.
It's like a big thing.
It is a big thing, but so is doing
chesed. Give me the money back. Yeah.
So is giving tzedakah, but you can't give tzedakah to the person who just lent you money.
Is it a chol? Is it a lachavim
b'zayin?
Or
is
it, you know?
Ribis devarim?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, the pasuk says v'cheyochich imach. The Torah wants that a Jew should be act be above and above board with his other with his brethren with his other Jews and help him out. He needs a loan. He needs some money to get himself on his feet or to make money, whatever it is. So don't take advantage of the situation. Okay, this is a good way to make money. Be a bal chesed.
I don't want to like just take $100,000 and not be able to like say thank you and not be able. It makes me feel worse.
Okay, so maybe. Well, there are ways to do it. To give the person, make it into a business deal, and give the person a return on his money through business. There are ways
to
do that.
So you gain money from that. If, let's say with that $100,000 you gain, are you gonna give that money back? So you gain $50,000.
No.
You give him $25,000 back.
Only if it wasn't an outright loan. Meaning, if the person gave you the money, there was a risk factor that if you would lose the money, you wouldn't have to pay him back the money. That's the rough. Right. If it's a clear loan where whether you gain or lose, you owe him the principal, then you can't give him back a penny more. But if his money's at risk meaning not that there are ways that you legitimately would not have to pay back. If you lose the money or part of the money, you're putter from paying back. That was the deal you made between the two of you. Then you can give him money. Because then it's not considered a loan. It's considered an investment. So there are ways to...
If you're for sure going to gain money? That's it. Or what if you gain money without even realizing? So then you
got to
give him extra money?
No, again, only if it wasn't a straight loan. If it was a straight loan where the borrower has to pay back regardless of what happens, then he can't give back anything more than he borrowed. It has to be that the money, that the malva took, the one putting out the money is taking a degree of risk. Okay, let me start
that. Someone must use his credit card. I'm not allowed to, like, pay him back anything. I'm not even allowed to say, like, thank you a lot. No.
You can't pay him back the interest that you
accumulated. Right. Can you say thank you? So we'll get later. We'll get to thank you right away. We'll get to the
interest. I'm saying I gained money. I gained money from the thing. It wasn't on purpose. It was an Uber Eats order. I gained money.
You gained money?
I gained money because people bought and I happened to gain money. It wasn't even on purpose. So the money that I gained, I wouldn't even allow like.
Did you borrow from someone? You would borrow from.
So the money that I gained, I wouldn't be allowed to give it to the person.
I mean, generally not. I mean, I have to make the specifics of this case, but typically not. If you borrow money, you can't get back money. You can't pick it back. Okay, some of the details of Rivas might be more gedur chok, because even if you lend money to a guy who's a billionaire, and you're lending him $100,000, which he's going to turn into gold, you know, you still can't take back money. Now, that's not because, you think a poor guy needs a parnasa. He doesn't need a parnasa. He's got a parnasa. So part of it might be, you know, might be elements of chok, but the basis of Rebbe is the part the Torah says, v'cheyachichimach, it's in order to be mischasi. Okay, so there's a very important Ramah here, though. The Ramah says, u'miyu im lo hayu amos biyadu derech halva rach derech mecher, mut v'kagavn. If it wasn't a loan, an outright loan, but it was derech mecher, meaning, this simple pshat on the Ramah would be, let's say you bought something from someone, and you didn't pay, you bought it on credit. You didn't pay him on the spot, and you owe him money. So the Ramah sounds that then you could, when you pay back, as long as it wasn't stipulated that you're going to owe more, I mean, you can't buy something on credit and, you know, with a payment plan of paying interest, unless it's done, you know, as a business deal. But otherwise, when you buy something on credit, you can't pay back anything more than the price that you would have paid on the spot. But that, I mean, can't, that's all you're allowed to stipulate. But if when you tack a payback, you give him a little extra without saying anything, without mentioning that it's oust the loan, oust the credit, and it's not, again, it's an amount which isn't obviously because of that, then the Ramah says you're allowed to do it. Because that's the Pashat in this Ramah, or one Pashat in this Ramah, because when it's Derech Mekach Memkar, it's not Ribbis Dereis to begin with, right? Ribbis Dereis has to be a loan. A loan, you lent the guy money, or you lent the guy food, or whatever you lent him, but you lent him some commodity which he's going to consume and replace. So then that's, and you stipulate, you owe me more, that's Ribbis Dereis.
So when you can't go to a gas station owned by a Jew if he has different prices for gas. Cash or credit?
Correct. Especially if it's internal credit. If it's external credit, we'll see.
If you use credit card, you have to
pay
more.
Okay. Well, I understand.
Cash,
so, but okay, less. Okay. We'll get. We'll get. So that's also. We'll get to. The, okay. You solve everything.
Well,
okay. Let's.
If you pay,
I say, but if you don't mind, that's a different. We'll get to that, Hashem. Okay, let's just take this for a second. But when you borrow, when you buy something and you buy it on credit and now you owe money because of that, that's not called derech avad, that's derech mecher, and it's derabbanan. Another example of that would be a person that you owe that did work for you and you owe him. You owe him his wages. He's your employee, or he did work in your house, and you owe him work for. He's a handyman, and you owe. And those are examples where you don't pay him on the spot. You pay him later. Those are examples of where even if you paid more, it would only be the rabbanu. It would only be Rubus the rabbanu. So in cases like that, the Rama simply understood the Rama saying that it is mutter. Then it's mutter to give more. You can't stipulate, and you can't tell him it's Rubus, but you give it when you pay back. You give him a little extra, without saying anything. You're allowed to do that. Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Beis Meir do not understand the Ramah that way, because based on the Rishonim, where the Ramah is the Rashba, the Ramah is coming from, they say that it's only talking about the opposite case, the reverse case. What's the reverse case? That somebody that you bought something and you paid for it on the spot, but he didn't give you the goods right now. So he owes you the goods. I'm all paid up, and he has to deliver the commodity. Then when he delivers, and he doesn't bring it right away, he takes his time. When he brings me the stuff, he could bring extra. If he wants to give me more than I actually paid for, since I did him a favor, I lent him the money, because I shouldn't have to pay till I get the product. I lent him the money by paying early. He's only delivering it in 2 weeks, and I pay him today. So then if he wants to give more on this than I really paid for, and he doesn't say it's because of ribbis and a small amount, he's allowed to do it. So that way, everyone agrees. That the Rama is for sure saying. When it's not money, it's not more money that's changing hands, either it's more goods. So that looks much less like ribbis. When money is being given, when the buyer is buying on credit, he's getting the product today and he's paying later, and he pays more, that looks more like ribbis. So Rabbi Akiva Eger holds that that's not what the Rama is talking about, although Kivayeg himself, you see, says that you see from the Shach here that he seems to understand that the Rama is talking about either way, both cases, whether the buyer is paying more money later or the seller is the one who got the loan from the buyer because he got the money early and he gives more later. Either way, it's mutter. And the Beis Meir says, really, the Rama himself is mashma that either way is mutter. He just says if it's derech mecher, it's mutter. But he just questions it. The Beis Meir questions why that would be. So an example of this case would be, let's say a person he has a business and he has employees, and he had a cash flow problem or maybe worse, whatever it is, and he fell behind on their wages. Now leaving out the din of whatever, he fell behind, and he didn't pay them, and let's say he missed one payroll, two payrolls. Then Baruch Hashem, he gets money, he's ready to pay it off, and he feels bad that he didn't pay his employees on time. He feels very bad for them. They count on this, so he wants to add. He wants to give them a little more. When he gives them the paycheck, he wants to throw in some more money, without an amount that without saying it's because I made you wait, so I'm giving you extra. Without saying that, to say that is for sure, sir. Without saying that, and again, it's an amount that maybe it's not a bonus. It's not. Clearly obvious, he gave me more because he's late. No, it could be he gave me more because, I've been working extra hard. Or Stami gave more because he got a windfall and he wants to share it with employees so that he has happy employees. It happens to be that it's also coming at the time that he's catching up on his payroll. But it's not obvious that that's the reason. So that lechara is telling on this shan how you learn this Ramah. If you learn this Ramah, that even money, even the buyer who buys on credit and is paying later is allowed to give extra money when he pays, so then the case of the worker as well, the case of the employer, can give extra money when he's paying off his workers, even though he's only doing it because he was late. He's not doing it because he got a windfall or he's doing it because he was late. But as long as he doesn't say that and the amount is not obvious that that's the reason, should be allowed to do it. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva Eger's way of learning the Ramah, there's no such heter. The only heter is when, like I said, to give extra goods. But it's never mutter to give extra money, even if it's derech mekar or memkar. So this is...
That's a good boss.
Well, he wants...
I think it's hard to find those bosses.
Okay. Well, the Hilchos Ribbis teaches us to be nice people, just to do it within the framework of halacha, what the Torah allows. So, okay, let's just see if there's something else I wanted to say on these. We spoke about this. Yeah. Okay. I think we covered. I think we covered pretty much most of the topics we wanted to cover on this sif. So we'll hold it here. Say again?
I'm listening to this shiur from Rabbi Ruben, Blaise Ruben. He threw in, there's a tshuva. He says that there's a tshuva regarding